Blog Talk Radio.
It ain't no doggone tomorrow, fella. What are you gonna bring to the doggone church? Are you gonna bust somebody in their mouth? Are you gonna do your doggone job? Are you gonna pray from your doggone ship? Are you gonna pray from your heart and see everything you doggone got? Cause I'm gonna do that. And I'm gonna see everything I doggone got. Only this place. I need that tonight.
Woo! How do you do a show after B-Dog? Happy Football Thursday to everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. We'd like to welcome you all into the War Room for the very first time, and we hope you'll be back with us many times after tonight. The War Room, if you didn't know, is a much-anticipated roundtable format Internet sports talk radio show. My name is Devin McMillan, but you guys can call me Devin or Dev, whatever your preference. I'll be one of your hosts here at the War Room Roundtable. It's five of us, so we like to refer to ourselves as your starting five. But I'm going to let the other fellas introduce themselves to you. Akil?
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Akil Bayon, also known as Akil. And it's a pleasure just to be here to help start this with four good friends of mine. And I guarantee you will not be disappointed. We'll be coming from many angles, from many places. And we're guaranteed to keep the content interesting.
B. Austin.
Yo, this that dude, the hot block commander, B. Austin in the place to be. Welcome everybody out there in War Room land. I'm excited. I'm hyped. As my co-host said, how do you follow B. Doc? How do you follow B. Doc, yo? I'm excited.
Jimmy.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Jimmy, also known as the Blueprint, also known as JW. I'm known as a lot of different things, but like everybody else said, I'm just excited because not only are we starting tonight, but football starts tonight. Football starts tonight. You start off with B-Dog, and then you tell me I get to talk trash for a couple hours, and then football starts. Now I'm done. Go ahead, PJ.
Yo. This Paul Johnson, better known as TJ, with the same sentiment as all the fellas, man. I'm excited about this. This is the best time of year for sports. This is the best time to be a sports fan. We got football starting. We got the War Room kicking off. Guarantee any of y'all that call in and listen and follow us, you'll be entertained for 2 hours. We welcome y'all to listen, to call, enjoy, jump in the conversation with us, and let's enjoy sports, man. That's all I got to say.
All right, let me tell y'all a little bit about our show, what we plan to do here with the War Room. Our show is going to be dedicated to an unbiased, objective, though highly opinionated examination of everything sports, and sometimes we'll discuss topics that have absolutely nothing to do with sports. So what? What we promise you, though, as listeners, is whatever we do, whatever we're discussing, we're going to keep it highly entertaining for you. One trait that all of these brothers share, and what we plan to demonstrate on the show is that we all speak our minds. So you're going to hear the real from us, not that watered-down stuff you hear on most sports TV and radio shows. But we're going to keep it clean, though. But through candor, we're going to try to bring about a revolution in sports media, a revolution of honesty, non-overly politically correct opinion brought to you with a ton of logical, knowledgeable thought, and best of all, we're going to bring it to you with a lot of laughs. So take this ride with us. Spread the word to all your family and friends. This is only the beginning. And by the way, War Room is brought to you by War Room Sports, a sports and marketing communications company. Before I get into the show rundown for the day, any of you brothers got anything else to add?
Football starts tonight.
Not really, man. That pretty much sums it up, man. Like, just listen, man. This is fun. It's unbiased. Don't take nothing personal. Everything we say is, you know, it's our opinion, and that's all it is. You know, don't mean to hurt any feelings. Not that we will, but, you know, we are just shooting from the hip now. So, you know, just enjoy. Enjoy.
The War Room is here. We need your participation. Join us. Join the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Call in, call us.
All right. Well, look, like Jimmy said, since tonight marks the commencement of the new football season, tonight's show is going to be all about football, football, and more football. We'll touch on as much new season material as we can possibly squeeze into the next 2 hours. We're discussing defending Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints, their city, their quarterback, their troubled running back, and their chances to repeat. We're also going to touch on the runner-up, Indianapolis Colts, the current legacy of their quarterback, Peyton Manning, and whether or not they remain among the elite this year after that disappointing Super Bowl loss. We're also going to do a segment on old faces and new places, and we're going to do season predictions and a preview. And throughout every topic, we like to hear from you guys. So we want your opinion, so call in during the call-in segments and voice your opinion. We'd love to hear from you. And near the end of every show, every week, we're going to have a segment called Sound Off, where we open up the phone lines to callers, and you guys can talk. Y'all can call in and talk about any topic you choose, even if we didn't discuss it on the show.
Hold on, Dev. Brett Favre is outside. Brett Favre.
But look, so you got to keep pausing every time Brett Favre does anything different, just so you can, you know, keep the beat on Brett. That's important.
But like three, we're going to start out our show with our birthday shout-outs for all the September 9th sports babies. So we're going to get into that right now. All right, the first birthday, September 9th. Well, let me explain the segment to you guys real quick. We're going to say whose birthday it is, how old they are, and then everybody, you know, if they have an opinion on it, they're going to say the first thing that comes to their mind about this person. So the first person we're going to go into with a happy birthday is B.J. Armstrong, 43 years old today. Paul, what do you think of when you think of B.J. Armstrong?
First thing I think of when I think of B.J. Armstrong, man, is Young Bull. Because I swear, all the years that he played with the Bulls, and I enjoyed watching, you know, Bulls was one of my favorite teams, I could swear that B.J. Armstrong wasn't no older than, like, 11 or 12. Homie was, like, one of the youngest-looking dudes ever. That's the first thing that comes to mind. I always associated B.J. with being young, even though he wasn't. But he just looked young. I can imagine what he looked like now at 43. He probably looked like he's about 18.
I know, right? Hey, B.J. BJ.
Hey, Dev, I got something to say about BJ Armstrong.
What you got?
Well, first off, when I think of BJ Armstrong, the first thing that I think of is Paul, BJ. Second thing I think of is Will. I remember BJ Armstrong when he was in a 3-point contest with a dirty white T-shirt on and a pair of Fila's because the Bulls cut him because he was considered to be too pro-black, and he still showed up at the 3-point contest looking like he was. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm sorry. That was Craig Hodges. Same thing. It was the Bulls point guard. Well, like I said initially, B.J. Armstrong paused for one. And for two, I agree with B.J. B.J. Armstrong was the youngest looking old head in the world. He looked like he
was
a career. First off, he never had any facial hair. And I ain't trust a black man without facial hair.
Yo, he did not have
As soon as black young boys can grow facial hair, we grow it, man. And we keep it for the rest of our lives.
Even if you got the little spotty junk and your beard not growing in everywhere, you still want the facial hair.
A little bit of facial hair. You might even try to add a little wax or something to it. That might just be a silly thing, even though I ain't never do it, but you know, add a little wax, a little enhance it, but that's what we suspect about BJ. Homie had no facials.
It was
something
that you
made me think
about growing
his
facial hair, man.
What you got on
Jay
Armstrong,
B. Austin? Scotty, Mike, pass me the ball. I'm open.
We go there.
BJ was nice. He was the benefactor of, you know, two of the most dominant players ever to exist in the universe. I don't have much more to say other than that for the brother's career. I mean, I remember when he went to Golden State and didn't do much of nothing. But he was cool.
I left Chill for last since he's a resident Bulls fan. What you got, Ben?
B.J. Strong, what comes to mind, I think of that corner three-point shot from the triangle offense during those 3 championships, and then I think about 1,000 jump shots a day. Many people don't know, but between his time leaving the University of Iowa and playing with the Bulls in the summer, he would shoot 1,000 jump shots a day every day. So when they called his number, even though he averaged like 8, 9, 10 points a game, You know, that three-pointer was going in.
That's Akil Bayon dropping that ether for y'all, just in case y'all didn't know. Because Akil is the resident ether dropper. You know how many jump shots he took.
The next one, we're going to give a happy birthday shout-out to Dan, Thunder Dan Marley, who's 45 years old today.
My birthday! Yay!
Let's keep it a little shorter, but what y'all got on Thunder Dan?
The only thing I say about Thunder Dan is he had hops to me. Like, I think Thunder Dan could get up a little bit for a Caucasian. You know, he a lot of time with Phoenix, and, you know, he was a decent player. But one thing I know about him, like, the Thunder Dan name came from, I think, his ability to get up off the floor, which was somewhat uncommon for the Caucasian. That's all I
know. You know what I said? He always shot the three, and it was supposed to be a jump shot, but he never really jumped.
It was like,
he actually shoot like
Braided.
Yeah. Anything else on Thunder? Are we taking too long on his birthday?
Hey, I got on Thunder Dan, 27-foot NBA three-pointers that he used to kill.
Yeah.
Without
jumping.
Yeah, like he was pulling up from deep for no reason.
He must have done a lot of bench pressing.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to move on to Shane Battier. Today he turns 32.
My birthday! Yay!
Real quick, numbers lie. Shane Battier, numbers lie. What he does on the court never shows up in his numbers.
Right. I get that.
Yeah.
We got to teach some people that, though. I think when he cut his hair close and he got them Scotty Pippen wrinkles in the middle of his head. That's all I think of.
He got the accordion dome.
Ask me, y'all. Ask me.
Go ahead.
He was from Duke, so I hate him. And is he black or is he white?
Hey, don't even matter. He's vanilla.
He's vanilla.
Oh.
Nuki. Yo, all right. First off, he went to Duke, so I think we should just skip to the next birthday.
True.
All right. Next birthday, we're gonna go to Earl J.R. Smith.
Earl Ray.
AKA J.R. Smith. He's 25 today. And the first thing I think of when I hear about J.R. Smith is knucklehead. Next.
Ditto. Yeah, me too.
I think he's the greatest dumb player in the league.
I think that the boy playing rough house, 33, 35, 21, whatever you want to call it, he playing by himself at all times.
Go ahead, Kel.
I think a horse. That's it.
So I think that he goes through like little phases where he looks like he can be a player, and then he does something so stupid. And you know,
exactly.
I think he's the best dumbest player in the league. That makes any sense.
First thing that come to mind for me is, like he just always got a look on his face like he don't know what he's talking about.
I mean, that's Jersey. What you expect?
Say this again.
Yeah, the ball from Jersey. What you expect?
Yeah, you right.
Just lost all our
Jersey
fans. Jersey
callers on the line, though.
Yeah.
I got some Jersey listeners out there. No offense.
No disrespect.
No disrespect to that body of land in between New York and Philly.
Right, and the last birthday, I'm going to have to get a little mushy. This is the one that's most special to me. Today is my wife, Brandy McMillan's 30th birthday. A happy birthday, baby. I love you.
Exactly. We got hearts and feelings. You know what I mean? Happy birthday, Brand. Happy birthday, Brandy, from the war room.
All right. That's it for the birthday, so we're going to say one last happy birthday to all of them.
Happy birthday. Y'all
got it.
Happy birthday.
That's our barbershop quartet.
That is our resident barbershop quartet. So our next segment is called While Y'all Were on the Grind. Basically, we're just going to spit out a few headlines of things that may have happened while you were at work. Y'all probably heard about a lot of these headlines because a lot of y'all really don't work when you're supposed to be working. And y'all here. The first one was about, it happened about 6:30 a.m. This morning. Tom Brady, superstar quarterback, New England Patriots, got into a car accident. Now, he was unhurt, but the guy that he hit had to be taken out of his car with the jaws of life. But, you know, he also went to the hospital with without life-threatening injury, and Tom Brady, get this, still attended practice.
He didn't go to the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, I know a couple QBs who, you know, would have probably mailed it in for a couple weeks after something like that.
McNabb, sorry, my bad. My bad. Yo, with the way officiating is today, that might be the hardest hit Tom Brady gets all season.
My question is, why is Tom Brady
going 6:30 in the morning? Like, if I'm Tom Brady, I'm not getting up till about 11, 12:30. Where is he going at 6:30 in the morning?
He was creeping. He was headed back home.
He said
he was coming from his jump-off crib.
My bet is that he was coming back home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's coming in at 6:30. He's coming in. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all heard about Joe Montana? Kind of, I don't like to use the word hating because everybody used that word wrong, but he has a different opinion since he was there about the movie Rudy. He said a lot of that stuff, you know, which we know they do. It was kind of Hollywooded up. I just made that word up. He said they didn't try to do it, but it was kind of like, you know, it was a joking thing. They were kind of really trying to play the dude. He said nobody went into the coach's office and put their jersey on the table, like, I want Rudy to play for me, coach. And he said not a soul in that stadium chanted Rudy during that game. What y'all think about Joe?
Joe Montana is hawking sneakers that don't sit straight, so his credibility is shot right there.
Jimmy, he's hawking straight up Bobo.
Joe Montana?
Yeah.
Yo, you see the sneaky
showing? I don't think I've seen him,
Al Harrington guy.
Yo, they like high heels.
Stephon Marbury, John.
No,
they kind of look like orthopedic shoes or something.
Yeah, they look like old men, John. I mean,
it's hard to even understand why he even weighed in on that, though. But why did he even weigh in on that? I mean, I guess maybe they asked him about that. But, I mean, that type of thing, like, why even, you know what I mean, just let that be. Like, it's Rudy. Everybody
let
has their own,
his,
you know.
I feel you, P. Let him get his 15 minutes of love.
Why even come out with all that right now?
Because Rudy got more money than him from the movie. That's all.
Probably, exactly.
All right, but Kevin Durant today led Team USA with 33 points to a 10-point win over Russia. Ironically, this was like the 38-year anniversary of when the Soviets beat the U.S. in that controversial game in the 72 Olympics. Kevin Durant is a beast. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, like 33, right?
As a little aside to that headline, y'all, the coach of the Russian team is an American, a Israeli American, and he said that the U.S. wasn't cheated in 1972.
Yeah, I heard that.
He tripped.
I said, whatever. I mean, I'm not the U.S. stand up, patriotic, you know, wrap the flag around me, but I've seen the game, and no dude got cheated.
I ain't even gonna knock them, because guess what? If they was in America, we'd have cheated too.
No doubt.
So I don't knock the hustle. But go back to what you said. Kevin Durant is a total beast.
I saw the game, and they had it on cruise control, but the Russians are big, no homo. And our backcourt is pretty monkeyish.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, the truth. I was wrong. I predicted he would come to the league and bust. So, you know, I'll take that. I was wrong. He's a beast.
Would you say the backcourt was monkeys?
Huh?
What'd you say about the backcourt?
The backcourt is filled with monkeys and primates. For those listeners out there in listener land, that's actually not an insult from us. We call all uber athletic talent primates, monkeys, zoo animals. You'll learn.
Who's an example of a monkey?
Derrick Rose. A monkey. He's a monkey. Yeah. Russell Westbrook is a monkey. He's a monkey.
All right, look. Did y'all hear that the Bulls are actually discussing a deal for Carmelo with the Nuggets? You know, they don't know who else would in the deal, but go.
If he leaves Denver, he's a Richard head.
Why? What do you think? What they got in Denver that would keep him to stay at this point?
I don't know. I just don't want him to go to the Bulls, so he's a Richard head if he does.
Oh, that's just a personal belief, huh?
Yeah, it's personal. It's a non-objective opinion.
It's all LeBron's fault, man. They got all this stuff started.
What I look at it is this. Everybody's going east, so why not stay west? I mean, all the talent is going out east. Why not stay west and say, look, I'll meet you in the finals?
Oh, do the opposite of LeBron?
Pretty much. Exactly. Everybody else is going east.
Yeah, do the opposite.
Do it the old school way. Do it the Mike and Bird and Magic way. Yeah, do it the 80s way.
Even if you want to do it the new way, why not get talent to come out west with you? Why go around? Why go to the east where everybody else is gone?
Oh,
you mean don't do what LeBron did?
I mean, yeah, I'm not talking about in terms of leaving. I'm just saying stay in the Western Conference.
Yeah,
I think you can leave where you want to.
Because then it's going to be a log jam, Paul, in the East, and then
absolutely,
you know, the best teams won't meet in the finals. They'll be meeting in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But look, let's move on from that.
Didn't the Nuggets offer him 3 years, $68 million?
Yeah, he's not answering them until he sees his options in free agency.
Yeah, he's weighing his options, Mm-hmm.
Can't be mad at that.
I'm going back to Denver, so we can kill that offer.
You said he's not going?
No, he's not going back to Denver.
All right, well, we'll discuss that at a later date. Next topic, next headline.
All right, that's it for the headlines. We're going to go into our next segment. This is another weekly segment that we call Pass the Rock. All five of us are big basketball fans. Four of us actually played high school basketball together. A few of us played some intramural athletics in college. That's a kill, you know, he was a D1 dude. But this segment is called Pass the Rock. On Pass the Rock, this is what we're going to do. Each host gets, you know, about a minute and a half, whatever they need to vent on any sports topic or issue that they want to vent on. And if they don't have anything to vent on that week, then, you know, they just mention maybe their favorite headline of the week. Or if you just don't have anything, you can just go ahead and pass. So I can get it started if y'all brothers will give me the floor. Mine is going to be short and sweet. My vent for the week is on the NFL Red Zone channel. Now, a lot of people, when I just said that, probably smiled because from what I've been hearing lately, you know, the NFL Red Zone channel is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I say poppycock. I think it's the most overrated thing in sports media right now. You know what it does? You know, for those who don't know what the Red Zone channel is, it's a channel that most people get on cable now. It started on the DirecTV Sunday Ticket, where they show whatever game that has a team in the Red Zone. They show that team, so you possibly get to see a touchdown right away. To me, in football like that, that's almost just like, you know, the SportsCenter fan who doesn't really watch games. They watch SportsCenter, look at a box score, and think they know what happened during the game. Mm-hmm. I think the people who are so hype about that need to go out and get DirecTV. DirecTV is what you need if you're a real football fan. The Sunday Ticket, you can watch. Instead of the Red Zone channel, Eagles aren't playing, I watch the Game Mix channel, which I call Organized Chaos, because that's seven games on one screen plus the Red Zone channel. So I get eight little boxes on the screen. I can move the sound over to whatever I want to hear, and I don't have to just watch games when somebody's about to score. That's not how you watch football if you really want to know something about football. That's all I got. Who's next?
I'm in the chat room, and Ball Control Radio just said that it waters down the game. You missed the hard work that it took to get there.
Matter of fact, since they're in the chat room, let me give a shout out to Ball Control Radio real quick. That's our girl, Danny and Mel, on Ball Control Radio. They got a show just like us. They were actually the inspiration behind us starting our own show. You can catch them every Wednesday at 7 p.m. at www.blogtalkradio.com/ballcontrol. So catch Danny and Mel every Wednesday so you can get sports from a woman's perspective. Now, who's next? I'm passing the rock to Jimmy. Hello.
Okay. All right, well, listen, I got something I want to get off my chest right now. In light of what I just saw on the Internet with, you know, Money Mayweather, I don't know how many of you guys have seen with, you know, his last rant. I want to say something about social media. Now, we all use social media. We all love social media. But basically, some people need to watch what they do. They don't realize that this stuff is there forever. And you know what? It goes beyond athletes. I see people who, you know, put too much of their personal business out there, say things that they'll regret later. And I understand the need to want to build your brand using social media. But at the same time, shouldn't you think before you just, you know, take video? And especially in the world we live in where everybody's walking around with a camera, you got to watch what you say. I mean, did any of you guys see how Floyd, like, snapped on the camera the other day?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I peeped it.
He's a clone, he's attention whore to begin with.
Half of the camera that you're talking about are actually coming from the people who are on the camera spewing that tunery. They're not really getting caught on camera. They're actually setting themselves up on camera and saying stupid stuff.
Come on, man. Like, you know, like, what is that? Like, seriously. Like, I understand you want to build your brand, and a lot of athletes do a good job of building their brand, but some of them just, like, you know, you got to cut it out. Like, seriously? So I got beef with people that use social media the wrong way. I mean, it's a great tool, but at the same time, watch what you're doing. I mean, these people got kids, and you on there saying all kinds, talking all reckless. I know, I'm not just talking about him. I mean, you can just go. You can go Google athlete on YouTube, and you know what I mean. You'll see all kinds of nonsense. The brother Howard that played for the Mavericks that was on there talking trash too. You got Starberry. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Eating Vaseline and whatnot. No homo. Like, come on. But they just need to watch what they do. Like, that's my beef for this week. My beef is with social media. So. At this point, I'm just
going to
pass the rock to PJ.
Yo, yeah, man, my beef this week, and it's sort of kind of a beef because, like, I used to like this guy, almost, like, just a little bit when he was in USC. I'm talking about Matt Leinart, who recently got picked up by the Texans to be a backup quarterback. But to me, this guy, if you followed his career, at least from USC, into the NFL, I think he's a classic case of fame creating a sense of self-entitlement that basically has him struggling to even stay in the league at this point. Just as like a little background on Matt. When he was at USC, what's up? Oh, my fault, I thought I heard somebody say something. Anyway, when Matt was at USC, right, he came in and he was like the understudy, because he redshirted his fresh year, so he was like an understudy to Carson Palmer when he came to USC. In his first year, he played, his first year actually was in 2000, and he played a few games in 2002, and in 2003 is actually his first real career when he actually played for a full season. His first pass was like a touchdown pass when they played Auburn. I mean, he went on that year, in his sophomore year, to the Rose Bowl. They were like 11-1.
So every year, and then he was like the Rose Bowl MVP that year. The next year in 2004, USC went 12-0. They ended up going and beating Oklahoma in the national championship in the Orange Bowl. He became the Heisman that year. Had like 5 touchdowns in the Rose Bowl that game. And then in the year after that, they went 12-0 again. So and he was third in the voting for Heisman and lost to Reggie Bush. But you know, he was still in that, and that's the great game, the Rose Bowl game against Tennessee when they lost to Vince Young in Tennessee. But you know, he still had a great game. So my point is, he comes out of college, highly touted, you know, Heisman winning, multiple championships. His record in college was something crazy, like 37-2 or something like that as a starter, right? So he gets drafted in 2006, and he holds out in that year for a contract for like, I think it was like $50 million or something like that over like 5 years. I mean, 6 years, I think it was 6 years of $51 million. So he holds out, gets his contract. You know, comes into the league. His actual best year as a pro was in 2006 when he was a rookie. And, you know, he had like 2,500 yards. His record was 4-11, which was horrible. Then the next season, in 2007, and I'm coming to an end in this, but I'm trying to, you know, build my story off, so hang with me. And, you know what I'm saying, his next season, he ended up getting hurt early on. And then Kurt Warner came in, because, you know, in 06, Kurt Warner was kind of playing shaky, which is why he was even going to get shot. And Kurt Warner came in 07, and, you know, went like 5-3, because Reiner was on IR. In 08, you know, Warner was basically named the starter because Reiner started in the preseason through like 3 interceptions to the Raiders in like the third preseason game. So my point is this, and then last year he was just a backup, and then this year he got beat out by Derek Anderson. So my point is with Reiner is, and I feel like that's my whole issue, which will be another show when we talk about like rookies and the signing and the contracts that these rookies get, especially first round picks. It's just like I feel like these guys have a sense of self entitlement. I mean, not all of them, and some of them don't work. And Matt Liner to me is an example of somebody who was like living off of his fame in college and thought that would just roll into the NFL when it's a completely different league, completely different speed, schemes, length of season, everything. And dude just drives me nuts because I remember thinking and telling people back when he was at USC that he was going to be a decent quarterback, 6'5", like 230, the typical, you know, decent quarterback prototype, at least in stature, Paul. And so that's it, man. I thought I got a little diarrhea with the mouth. But Matt Liner, when I heard that he got cut, like last week, I was like, yo, this nut can't even get a starting job. So I'm sorry for the runoff, y'all. I'm going to pass the rock to my man, D-Money.
Hold up. I think that Matt Liner was the beneficiary of a great system and a great team. He had pieces around him that were also, I guess, above par for the competition in the competition. So when he ended up coming to the NFL, then you combine that with what I perceive to be apathy. I don't think the dude really cares about actually playing football. It's like he wants the stardom, he wants the money, but when it comes down to actually – so he could well have the talent that you perceived or you saw at USC, but he's really not interested in applying himself. So, you know, at USC he could coast and still be the man. In the NFL, you know, no one really cares. No one really cares.
All right. And pass the rock, that's what you call gunning. Pat, I'm open.
I don't know how you can play back to Central, man. I still ain't shake that gun and have it yet. My fault.
what you got, brother? Keep it short.
Who pass the next to?
I thought Pat. You, Greg, you got a John or always kill?
Hey, be money, be Austin. What you got to say, brother?
Oh man, my topic or my little rant this week. I have an issue with one Shaquille Twism O'Neal. He made a comment earlier this week at a golf outing, I believe, or it may have been at the Celtics media day or some event. That had a lot of media exposure, and he essentially said that Mo Williams could not play, thus alluding to them losing in the playoffs due to Mo Williams not, you know, not being nice.
Shaq throwing somebody under the bus. What's new?
He's throwing somebody under the bus. And when I look at Shaq's career, you know, he's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer. He definitely has good numbers, but I think even that is relative to who you compare them to. He definitely isn't a great, in my opinion. And furthermore, I don't think he's a classy guy. I think that he allows emotions to sort of come into play in some cases with the things that he says. And then in other cases, I think that he calculates what's going to come out of his mouth to gain or elicit some response from the general, you know, from the general public. So I just think it was a classless move for him to throw Mo Williams under the bus, him being who he is and Mo Williams being who he is. So, you know, I have an issue with Shaq doing that, you know, especially at 12 points and 7 rebounds a game, 24 minutes a game, I think. He's at this point in his career, he's a bum. So why would he be talking him up? He's a bum.
Mo Williams, tell me how my ass tastes. I said, Mo Williams, tell me how my ass tastes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, right,
pass that rock to a kill so he can dump that thing and we can move on.
Yeah, I'm passing it to a kill, Bam.
Okay, here we go. My small little beef has to do with the BCS. As of now, for the first time since the BCS existed, we have two teams in the top five that are not a part of the BCS conferences, which are number 3, Boise State, and number 4, TCU.
Boise, nice.
And after on Saturday, you had Boise State, who was number 5 in the USA poll, play Virginia Tech, who was number 6 in the USA Today poll. And they wound up beating Virginia Tech to now move up to number 3. So they need to have a playoff system. They need to stop discriminating against the non-BCS schools. Like last year, everybody's watching undefeated TCU, undefeated Boise State. It's like, man, can one of these guys play for a national championship or upset a BCS school like Boise did Oklahoma or how Utah did Alabama? Then all of a sudden, you see Boise State playing TCU. I'm like, come on, BCS. That was corny. So basically, that's my beef. The BCS, they need to stop acting corny. They need to open it up, have a playoff system. Stop
playoffs? Don't talk about.
And let's go.
Exactly. Playoffs? Don't talk about.
But you understand why they don't have that, right?
Yeah.
Money.
It's all, I mean,
money.
Exactly. So now I'm passing the rock to I'm done. You're right.
You're nobody on them.
I'm scoring.
Right now,
hey, take that to the.
What we're gonna do is let everybody know how they can contact us. We're gonna give you all our information. What we would like you guys to do, we're encouraging you all to check out our website at www.warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, about our show, or if you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our email addresses are located on the Contact Us page. If you want to become a fan on Facebook, you can hit us at facebook.com/warroomsports. You can follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/warroomsports. And if you want to send us an email, you can send that to info@warroomsports.com. And if you want to, we open up the chat room during the show. And I'm pretty sure, since it's the first show, a lot of people don't know about that. The ladies from Ball Control know about it because they do it every week. And the chat room and their show is on and popping every week. So to get into the chat room, you need to sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. So you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the war room and you sign up for a free profile. Then every week when you listen to the show online, you can click on chat. The chat room will open up for you and you can communicate with us during the show. We have people manning the chat room, Facebook and Twitter during the show. So if you got something to say, just social media, and we try to get your opinions heard on the show. Lastly, the call-in number. The call-in number is 323-410-0012. That's the number you need if you want to call us and talk to us about anything. We're not taking calls just yet, but in a few minutes we will be taking calls. So, again, if you want to get on the line and talk to us, the number is 323-410-0012. Now, let's get into this NFL season. We're going to start off.
Before we do that, one thing I also want to say is we have a lot of people who are on the air right now listening as I'm looking in the back end. If they want to, you know, raise their hand and say something, they just press 1.
Right. Right.
The people that are already listening, yeah. Just press 1 if you have something that you want to get off your chest.
Right. You know? It's like Dennis said, if you're already listening to us by phone, if you want to talk to us, just press 1. That'll put you in the queue, your hand will raise, and one of the professors will call on you. All right. Fellas, let's talk about the defending champion, New Orleans Saints. These are kind of the questions I want to know your opinions on. Like, we can get into the Super Bowl last year, you know, if anybody wants to talk about the actual game. But let's kind of touch on what the game did for the actual city. Because, you know, we all know what New Orleans natives went through, you know, back in 2005 with Hurricane Katrina. So, you know, we want to touch on what it did for the city, you know, what that win did for Drew Brees as a quarterback, because now – I don't think it's just my opinion. I think everybody thinks he's in the elite for quarterbacks. What are their chances to repeat? And we can talk a little bit about Reggie Bush and his troubles, the former Mr. Kardashian. We can talk about his troubles. So, shoot, who got something? Like, what do y'all think the Super Bowl did for the city of New Orleans?
It was a great economic event. You know, having spent some time in New Orleans after the storm, I can honestly say that, you know, I was very happy for the people that, you know, chance or call it God smiled upon them to bring something that had such economic impact. So I definitely was happy on that front. That's one, you know, that's one perspective. But repeat, it's a long season, man. It's a long season.
Right.
It's 16 games. The center cog of their defense is sitting for about 6 games in Darren Sharper, or Darion Charpier, as he likes to be called. Their D-line is suspect. No one's really that frightened of their linebacking core, although I would definitely call them a little bit more than serviceable. Secondary is filled with overachievers. So, you know, that's my take. I think they play well as a unit. On the other side of the ball, I think Drew Brees, we have to tip our hats to him, man. I think that he's a top three quarterback in the NFL. And if you look at last year's playoffs, he went through each round of the playoffs and he knocked off a Hall of Famer. He knocked off Peyton Manning. He knocked off Brett Favre. He knocked off Kurt Warner. I mean, no homo. So I think that you definitely have to tip your hat there. I think Sean Payton is a hell of a coach and play designer. You know, they have the weapons offensively, but are they going to be able to continually score at the rate they did last season? I don't know, man. I don't know. When people see you coming, it's a little different. And they can't stop any major offense. So that's my take. I don't see them repeating. I do see them competing in the NFC Championship and possibly losing to either the Packers or the Vikings.
Cool. Mm-hmm. What about – go ahead. Who, anybody want to weigh in on that?
No, I was just going to say I agree with them. I think they might have caught some people in a little bit last year, just in the sense that, you know, like Brad was saying, offensively, they, you know, the weaponry is there. Just like, as well as like Sean Payton being a great play caller in a schematic, like offensive, I wouldn't call him genius, but I think he's good. But what I would say is that defensively, if you think about even toward the end of the season, when they, you know, into the playoffs, they got a lot, their defense benefited a lot from like turnovers and things like that. And, you know, Darren Sharper was one of the benefactors of that. But I mean, that, I mean, you don't want to call it luck, and you don't, you know what I'm saying, you're not just going to say it happened by, you know, just whatever. I mean, they had to play defense, they had to put pressure on the quarterbacks and on of the other teams to get those turnovers and things, but I don't know. I definitely think that they'll contend and they'll challenge, but I think that the only question mark I have with them would be defensively, because people will be gunning for them now, and like Brad said, it's different when you're sitting in the seat and everybody is gunning for you.
That's a big question, Pete, and some great points. If you look at the championship game versus the Vikings had four turnovers in the game, but Brett Favre threw for 450-plus yards.
Exactly.
The ball.
Oh, let me cut you off real quick. I just want to let the audience know that, you know, we're opening up the line to callers right now. So if you want to call in, if you got anything to say about the Saints, about, you know, what happened after the Super Bowl, you know, how it helped the city after Katrina, just give us a call. That number again is 323-410-0012. 323-410-0012. And if you want to get on the line with us, just press 1 when you're prompted to do so, and we'll try to make it to your call. All right. Go ahead.
Well, let me say so. Let me weigh in on this thing. First off, I think in terms of what it did for the city, I think that's a little bit overrated. It had a huge economic impact for sure, and it gave the people of New Orleans something to be proud about. But at the end of the day, after they had their parade, life went back to being normal. I mean, and then you have this whole situation with BP, and I don't want to get too political here, but at the end of the day, it really didn't do anything for them. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, a lot of people are still struggling down there. Now, in terms of New Orleans repeating, I don't think it'll happen. I mean, first off, I want to say one thing. In order to win a Super Bowl, you have to have a little bit of luck on your side anyway. So I can say they did get lucky, but with that being said, you have to have that to win a Super Bowl. A lot of things have to fall your way for you to win a Super Bowl. You know, Adrian Peterson wasn't trying out for the Timberwolves by dribbling down a field all game, they may not have won. he was crossing people over, going behind his back. You know, he was dribbling all over the field. So if not for him and, you know, Brett Favre, who, you know, throws interceptions at the most inopportune time anyway, who's the most overrated athlete in the history of the NFL, but that's a whole other show. If not for him, you know, making the little mistakes he made, they may not have been playing for the Super Bowl last year. I mean, everything went their way, but like I said before, and actually, for you to win a Super Bowl, you need a lot of things to fall your way anyway. And that's my take on it. I don't think they will be able to repeat. I mean, it was a great season, you know, and at the end of the day, as a quarterback, once you win that one Super Bowl, a la Brett Favre, you can get away with stinking it up for the rest of your career and throw a million interceptions. But that's my point.
See, I know what you mean about how after the game, after the parade, everything went back to normal. I was watching the Spike Lee documentary. What's it called?
When the levees broke?
No, the second one. I know what you're talking about. But it's more the same thing. It's more the same. You saw the first one. I mean, it's more the same, you know, and I saw that as well. But just in general, like, you know, people overestimate like what an actual parade does. If you're struggling and your team wins, you get happy for that second, and you know. But at the end of the day, life goes on.
That's an excellent point, Jim. I think that it did with football and what sports does for us. Like, not necessarily, obviously we weren't in that same situation and didn't suffer from that same type of disaster. But when you look at football and sports in general, man, it's like a time, like, say for me, being an Eagles fan, I play the Eagles game. So those 3 hours on Sunday or Monday or whenever they play is like refuge from everything else that's going on in my life right now. So it's a refuge from bills and work and all kinds of things like that. I can sit back, enjoy my team, root, scream, act like a fool, you know, and just enjoy those 3 hours. So it'll take me away, but when the game is over, guess what? I still got bills coming in the mail. I still got work to do and everything. So I think, just like you said, it did that for them in New Orleans, and they can celebrate and party, and it does get them away from just being in that, like, that mind state of just being so, you know, worn down and devastated by the disaster. It brings something else to the city. But, you know, the Saints didn't really, you know, I mean, it did generate some money into that area, but it didn't rebuild, you know, a lot of people's homes. Like, just got them in the Super Bowl.
I think my statement was a little misunderstood. It definitely, the economic impact for the people that were, you know, the disenfranchised, the people that really or have it in a bad way down there. Sure, it's nothing, but let's also not discount the value of a diversion from your day-to-day struggles. I mean, you know, any of us, we're regular guys. We have life's trials and tribulations, and PJ, as you say, when your team is doing well, I know I bounce with a little bit more pep in my step when the Eagles are winning, when the Sixers are scoring and doing well, when the Flyers are running the power play, when the Phillies are knocking homers out of the box, which they did score 10 the other day. I've seen that. So I think that I'm speaking more towards the value in a diversion from the everyday struggles, and who has more struggles than those in New Orleans. You know, economically, nah. I mean, it's not doing anything to rebuild houses and really change the economic landscape down there. But I do think it's a positive step. And I was happy to see them. I was happy to see them win. I was happy to see Bourbon Street rocking again.
Yeah. But look, let's go more into, you know, the on the field stuff. That Super Bowl win, and the fact that Drew Brees won the MVP. I know he's on it, but where does that put him on the Mount Rushmore of active quarterbacks? Like, where do y'all rate him right now?
Top three. Well, top four. Top five.
Well, yeah.
Top five.
I mean, after you count Tim Tebow and no, I'm joking.
I would say, you know what, you got to put, you know, it's funny. Nowadays, every quarterback conversation starts out with Brady and Manning. Right? It was like Brady and Manning, and then you start adding. You take it to the top five, then you start adding on. Like you say Brady and Manning, then you start actually thinking about the other quarterbacks. To me, I can't see why you can't put him three right now. I mean,
I can't. You can't put him maybe at two right now. It actually depends on how Brady comes back from. You know, he had his year after knee surgery. He didn't do terrible. He didn't do great. You know, for me, I still have Peyton Manning at number one. The dude studies the game like he doesn't have a life outside of football. But he may have made that leap over Brady, but Brady's resume speaks for itself. So, you know, until somebody can put together, you know, the string of years that he did, then, of course, you may have to leave him up there at one or two. But surprisingly, you know, I go Breeze definitely in the top three. But
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go out on him, too, and add Aaron Rodgers to the top five. The dude is a beast.
He's the only quarterback, I think, if I'm not mistaken, talking about Aaron Rodgers, that started his first two seasons with 4,000 yards each season, right? His first two complete seasons with 4,000.
Yo, do you think that, I mean, he's already top five right now? You believe that?
I think he's already top five. And you know me. I'm the dude who always preaches, you know, you got to put in a bigger body of work, this and that. But back to that season.
I can support Aaron Rodgers being top five. I'm going to tell you why. Number one, look at the league. Look at quarterback play league-wide. We're in a slump now. Overall, once you get below the top eight, what do you have? You got people that start that aren't better than Devin Flag.
I mean, you may be right. I mean, because at that position, there's not that much talent out there. I mean, I might take my fantasy QB Phillip Rivers, you know. But after that, it's like, who else is there? You have, of course, you have Brady, Manning. Now you have Breeze. You have the Rivers. You have Aaron Rodgers. Who else is there?
You got that boy you can do for the Eagles.
But Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't do what Aaron Rodgers does. Aaron Rodgers had David Carr's line for a good 12 games. David Carr's line from like 2005, 2006, and he was making plays on the edge. No one even gave him the credit for the athleticism that he displayed. Not only that, but he had great pocket passes.
That's a good question. Do you think that, I mean, I'm asking everybody this, do you think that Aaron Rodgers is better than Romo? If you were to take one or the other right now, I know what Akil is going to say because he's a Cowboys fan, but honestly, I mean, your bias aside, you have Romo and Rodgers, and right now,
honestly, I hate the Cowboys. I really Eagles fan, but to be honest with you, I mean, I'm not. That's not making my decision, but right now I would say I would go with Aaron Rodgers. Just from what I've seen of him in terms of, I mean, he's obviously not great, but I just think he has a little bit more, you know, that extra. It's hard to even explain, but just that oomph in him or something, like the gumption. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's a very accurate quarterback, very good quarterback, but I just think it's almost like you can see something in him, like the old heads would say they can see something in him. And I feel like I can see something in Aaron Rodgers right now. Not that I don't see it in Romo, but I think Romo's a little bit inconsistent.
Romo is good. Okay. Aaron Rodgers has the potential to be great. I think Romo's hit his ceiling. I don't think he's bad by any stretch of the imagination. I think he's a good quarterback. I think we could see greatness for the next 8 seasons from Rodgers.
But I'm talking about right now for this season.
What you think, Kel?
Listen, hold on.
I mean, putting all bias aside, well, first of all, Aaron Rodgers, he only has 2 years as his body of work.
Right.
As after Romo, 3.5 years body of work, he has he's top 5 all time in rating, top 5 all time in QB winning percentage. Now, stats obviously don't tell everything, but what I've seen from him in fourth quarter comebacks, he comes back most of the time. Like, you know, some of us will be talking, we'll be watching. Like, man, you think Romo's going to get it? He gets the field goal. Or he'll get it down to the field goal and then drop the snap as the holder. That's another thing. But, you know, he's won many games coming from behind in the fourth, and I think he's more clutch than Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion. Although Aaron Rodgers is, you know, I think he's an upper echelon quarterback, you know, right behind that. I think Romo and Rodgers are right behind Manning, Brady, and Breeze at this point. And then at next level you have Rodgers. Well, you have Romo, Rodgers, and a Rivers at that next level.
Well, one of the reasons why I like him is because, actually, in that playoff game, I kind of hear Aaron Rodgers attractive. Like, well, you saw what happened, you know, when overtime started, when the pressure started. That's bull, first of all. When they came back in that game, he scored whenever they needed to score to put that game in overtime. If you look at the last play of that game, first of all, I saw shades of the infamous Tom Brady tuck rule when he fumbled, and it was a helmet-to-helmet hit that wasn't called. So if you're going to go on these new rules that the NFL, you know, has instituted recently, that play shouldn't have never happened. Dude should have got a chance to drive and, you know, start to cement his early career legacy. But one more time, I'm going to give that number out before we continue. If anybody wants to call in and say anything, say what's up to us. That number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 to raise your hand, and we'll get to you. Fellas, what about this Reggie Bush situation and the Heisman and all that kind of stuff? You think that'll be a distraction for the Saints this season?
He's my favorite running back.
Give us your reason for him being your favorite running back.
You want my reason for him being my favorite running back?
I think I know, but
is it because of his maiden name?
Stop honking.
No, seriously, what is your reason? I want to know what your reason is.
Yo, the brother is prolific off the field. Now, audience out there, I'm really just I'm joking. I think that you know, he inside joke among the fellas. He's actually really overrated. He's overrated. He's
all right, but I'm gonna tell the audience why. Two words: Kim. Even though he's not with her anymore, Kardashian.
There's a God somewhere. There's a God somewhere.
No, but seriously though, in terms of what he's going through, I think it's hilarious that Leinart can't get a job and now he's going through this. Like that whole program, they ruined the whole USC program. But anyway, I was talking to the ladies on a ball control last night, and I was saying that part of this whole situation with him is just the time that we live in. Because you can't tell me that O.J. Simpson, as well as a lot of other Heisman Trophy winners, weren't, you know, doing certain things
when they played back in the day. It's just that it wasn't reported.
Hold up, brother Jimmy. Let me interject here. We criticize these young men who are barely men for taking money, but the universities are making millions per game off of them.
And I agree. Look at the jerseys they sell, the video games with their likeness on it. I agree. I mean, but
isn't it hypocritical? Isn't it hypocritical?
Absolutely. But, you know, what I think about it, I don't think about this. What is the answer?
But I don't really think it's that much. I don't think it's hypocritical because that's what the university is there to do, though. They're there to make money. There always has to be a boss, and there always has to be the workers. You know what I'm saying?
I thought they were there to give an education out.
We used to put a premium on getting a free education. Now, just like I told the ladies of Ball Control last night, we know that these guys go there just as a stopgap to try to make it to the league and get a whole bunch of money. But, I mean, I think some of the rules need to be changed, but it's not like they're getting nothing. You're getting a free education. If you don't choose to go to class, that's on you. So when you break the rules and take money that you're not supposed to take, you can't really justify it because, yeah, well, they're pimping us out anyway. We know that to be fact. They are pimping these athletes out, but rules are there for a reason. Until they change the system, you know, we can't keep talking about, you know, well, they're getting pimped out.
That's just the nature of sports, though. I mean, even from the, like, that's almost the same, some of that argument, and I agree with what you're saying, that some of that argument is what people, like NFL players say. They're almost getting pimped out. They get the non-guaranteed contract. The contracts get restructured, and, you know, they're always, you know, the injuries and things like that. One thing I would say to it is that I'm sure probably 9 out of 10 of those top college athletes took some kind of something, and they broke a rule, which is wrong. The only thing I think about with the Heisman on them taking it away, now I understand, again, if there's a rule that says if you take money, then, you know, and you win a Heisman, then they take the Heisman back, but I don't feel like he took performance in hand. Like, the money that he took didn't make him a better runner or make him stronger or make him faster. Like, it's not like he took performance-enhancing drugs or he just, you know, somebody was paying for his mom's crib. Like, so, I mean, I can dig it where there has to be some type of reprimanding, but it's just, I don't think that it made him a better player or made him, you know, faster or put all them, you know, shaking big moves that we see on YouTube when he was like a video game player at USC. I mean, he was a video game, like, icon at USC. So, I mean, it's a tough argument to me.
Reggie Bush deserved the Heisman. I'm not a Reggie Bush fan. I don't even like
you. Right. We got a caller on the line. TJ, you want to take that?
Caller. Hello? Caller?
Hello?
Hey, you're in the world from...
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I hear you.
Where you from?
What's good? This is Steve from Harlem.
Steve, what up, Steve?
What's going on? Congratulations, fellas.
Oh, man. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, bro.
I was thinking about the Reggie Bush thing the other day, so once y'all start talking about it, I did want to chime in on it. I think in terms of college athletes, and I mean college is the biggest hustle in America in terms of sports. Like it's ridiculous how much money coaches make, how much money schools make off of players. And I don't know who said it, but somebody mentioned that, you know, they're getting the opportunity to go to school for free. But if you look at somebody that goes to school on an academic scholarship, all they have to do is, you know, maintain their grades. So they don't have anything else to do. If they maintain their grades, they keep their scholarship. So an athlete should be able to do whatever he wants as long as he is going and he's doing what they ask him to do. He shouldn't be penalized for helping himself out or helping his family out, because at the end of the day, everybody's doing it, and you're only wrong when you get caught. So I don't know. I'm sort of – you have to teach them to be men and to respect the rules and stuff like that, but it's difficult when you're 17, you're 18, you're coming from the place where these kids are coming from. they have to, you know, they're put in a tough situation. And then you got pressure from their families because everyone knows the deal. If your kid is good, they're waiting for those offers. In fact, they're seeking those offers. They're looking for the agents. They're looking for those people that are willing to look out and help them get through, you know, because that's how it's done. I guarantee you 90% of the athletes are doing the same thing. So, that's pretty – We've been talking about this for like 25 years. I remember a kid hearing my parents talk about it. So it's something that's always going to be there because the system is flawed. And as long as, you know, can they work yet? I don't even know if the kids, you know, they can work. And most football players, you don't have time to work to earn any money. So they're in a tough situation.
Yeah, they get like about $20 a month or something to live off of on a stipend, but they can't.
Yeah, exactly. And that's to pay their phone card.
Yeah, you're right, man. You 100 with that. Because that's like the argument, because Steven Jackson was on NFL on ESPN today. He was saying the exact same thing. Now, obviously, he's an athlete, but he's just like, man, like what you said, if you have an academic scholarship, you can still work as long as you can maintain your grades. Now, if you got a football scholarship and you maintain your grades and play football, you still can't work, though. And what about the guys that don't actually make it to the NFL, though? Like, they may be on an academic scholarship, but they might be getting handouts from, you know, somebody that's looking out for them, but they might not necessarily make it to the NFL. So when it's all said and done, that's the majority of the guys.
I know that is the case. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. This is Dad, by the way. I'm going to play devil's advocate because the stuff that an average college student needs, the athletes still get a stipend. You know, they're not walking around totally broke. It's not like they're not eating or anything like that. They get a little bit of a stipend, especially when you're in a big program. But, you know, the kind of shit he was taking, y'all can't tell me that. Come on, that's not a little suspect.
Yeah, no. No, I agree. Some of it is outrageous. Some of it is ridiculous. But let's just say, hello? Let's put it this way. All the money that these schools make off of these kids, they should be given a percentage back to something. Like maybe not directly to the players, but let's say that money doesn't go in their pockets, but it goes to a charity or something like that. Then we'll see how many people actually want to pay these players, and we'll see how the system changes, because as long as they're profiting off of these kids, off of jersey sales, off of game tickets, like any college game is sold out. So, and they're not coming to see the coaches. They're not coming, you know, they're coming to see those players. And, right. and those players, you know, they leave there and they gotta eat off of the little stipend they got. So, It don't add up. It's not fair, pretty much.
Steve,
I know
you got a
I like your opinion, brother.
You
want to
put up that website for your blog?
Oh, my blog is andshewonderswhy.blogspot.net.
All right, brother. Thanks for your call. We holler at you later.
Yeah, definitely. Good luck,
thanks,
man.
All right, thanks.
This is Jimmy. I just want to say something real quick. I think that Steve has some valid points, and every time we have this discussion, the funny thing is I want to know what you guys think is the answer, because the system is flawed. We all admit that and we know that, but what is the answer? Do you just open it up and let them collect as much money as they want? I mean, what's the answer to this? Like, because no one has ever given me a great scenario, you know, to say what the answer is.
I got the answer for you.
I'm pretty sure you do, brother. What is it? What's the answer?
You have to regulate. You have to regulate it, and you have to put in place a means for them to share in some of the revenues generated by the colleges and the conferences. And you bring in a third party that's not influenced by the interests of the players and not influenced by the interests of the conferences or the schools, and they control the money and how it's paid out.
The stipend, though, like the stipend, they have a stipend that they can pretty much live off of. But I mean, they're not buying a whole bunch of new sneaks with that. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, like what you're saying, Brad, is definitely do that and just increase what you're giving them. Like, Like, the universities make a lot of money, man, especially the big-time universities that get all that, like, you know, think about the universities that go to bowls on a regular basis. So, I mean...
I know we all saw the 30 for 30 on the U on Miami.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to... I would say it could start by just increasing the stipend and having a third party manage, a third party that's non-partial to kind of, like, manage that. Like,
okay.
The universities could... And
with that being said, how do you determine what athlete gets what money? Like, I mean, does Reggie Bush...
Yeah, you probably have to make it the same. It would be hard to... I mean, it would probably have to be, in my opinion, this is just me, this is Paul speaking, like, in my opinion, it would probably have to be the same. Because, I mean, and granted, obviously, like you say, you know, back in the USC, days, people were coming to see Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart. They weren't coming to see, like, you know, their backups or the backup behind them. But I think to make it fair, it would probably just have to be a higher percentage, but probably the same stipend.
Because my thing is
tied to years on the team and academic performance. So your number, a freshman makes one thing, you increase it each year as he matriculates through the university, and then academic performance, so you reward them for truly being student athletes.
Okay, so we got another call on the line. I'll take that one.
Okay.
You're in the war room. What's your name?
Hello?
Are you calling from? Yeah. Who's this?
This is Felicia from Philadelphia.
Hey, Felicia.
Hey, Felicia. How you doing?
Good evening, Felicia.
I'm good. I'm sorry.
I said, how am I at the fellas, Felicia?
That's what I'm going to try to do. It's funny that... you guys are talking about this. I have felt very passionate about schools and how athletes are treated and all that for a very long time. I don't have any college-age kids, but I have three boys, and my oldest is 11. But my sister has been an athlete all her life, and I just got to see firsthand just how things work, sort of. And no, it's not the same thing as football or anything else. She ran track. But I like what you said about the limitations. I'm not sure who said it, but as far as making it the same, or I even like how you said break it down by the year of the student and, you know, as they continue to become a sophomore, junior, and senior, you increase their stipend. Because one thing the teams do, they all get distributed equipment the same. They all get distributed their sneakers and their gear, their bags, their jackets, their track suits. They all get put up in the same hotel. They all ride the same bus. They all eat the same food. And meanwhile, making thousands and millions of dollars for these big universities and programs, and they don't get to see none of that. And then, you know, when it comes time at the end for those players that they have contributed significantly to help win championships for their school, when it comes down and they're not playing full ball, they have to fall back on whatever it is they were doing in their studies or whatever it is they're going to do after they graduate. And let's face it, sometimes they don't do nothing, or they might not have been able to get a job in whatever it was they were studying. They might not have even majored in anything. But I don't know. I'm sorry, I just feel very strongly about that. I think it's a sin and a shame the way they don't get rewarded, even those that don't go on to play pro ball. A quarterback cannot win a championship by himself. A wide receiver cannot make a touchdown if he doesn't get the damn ball. It's a team effort, you know?
So,
Malik, I'm going to catch you. Thank you for your call. We're going to keep talking about this for a second, but thanks a lot for your call. We hope you are listening and calling again next week.
Definitely.
Hey, real quick, Charles,
Yeah, good point. It's a strong situation because, I mean, even we're talking about it on the Reggie Bush level, which is the highest level, but, you know, you may see things like this on lower levels and, you know, D2 and in the smaller schools when, you know, kids, it's just hard. Like, if you want to do, like, co-ops and all those internships while you're in college, it's difficult to do if you're playing a sport, especially, like, football, where is you know, really time-consuming year-round, like with the workouts and things like that. So, you know, I don't know. It's difficult, man. It's a difficult issue. Like you said, Jimmy, what's the answer? Who knows? But they need to be moving in that direction to figure something out.
Hey, PJ, speaking of small school, you know, while obviously playing at, you know, Howard Low Division One, I know playing basketball, I know guys that, you know, they look forward to the Pell Grant money, which was anywhere between $800 and $1,000 a year, so they can, you know, go buy food or, you know, go buy clothes or look forward to the away games where, let's say if we took an away road trip and we went to, let's say, Michigan State or LSU, we would get $10 per meal per day. So if we're going for, let's say, you know, 3 days, we're getting $30 a day. So that's $90 that you're getting for those 3 days. And that was it. Most guys had to look forward to. And, you know, it was kind of crazy. And, you know, we couldn't work. And you can't take an internship. And, you know, some people that, I know some people stopped playing because they were like, look, you know, I either need to graduate or get ready for grad school. And, you know, this isn't worth it.
Yeah, like, if you're not going to the NBA, you really got to start preparing for life out of college. Like, nowadays, as competitive as it is, you know, just in the working force coming out of school, you need that type of, you know, you need to focus on your major if you can. You need to get those internships, that exposure, network, and do all those kind of things to allow yourself to come out of school and be competitive. And you can't do, I mean, I guess that's something that you gotta make the decision when you're a student athlete, and I tell you definitely, can, you know, just like you did, can speak to that, but it's tough, man, because you want to play a sport that you love, but at the same time, you don't want to, you know, make it tough for yourself when you come out of school because you didn't take advantage of some of the opportunities that might have been there.
It's not about the topic. I'm just, before y'all move on to the Colts or the rest of the season, because the time is running low, I'm just going to let y'all know that I'm about to be out. As y'all know, I got a hot date tonight, so I'm going to bounce early. I'm thanking all the callers and all the listeners for tuning in ahead of time. You know, the guys are going to do that before they get off. But, you know, I told y'all earlier, my wife's birthday, so I got a hot date tonight. So they're going to land this jet without me. So I will talk to everybody next week. Fellas, I'll hit y'all later. We got another caller on the line. So y'all take that and have a good show.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have fun tonight, brother.
Real quick about what you said, Brad, you had a great idea in terms of, like, slotting it in terms of freshman, sophomore, what have you. But, you know, then it's going to become a situation where if I'm a junior and Reggie Bush is a junior and we're getting the same amount of money, you know what's going to happen then. You know, and I'm his backup. What happens then?
I feel that, but that's a problem for greater minds than mine, and it's definitely something that needs to be tweaked. I think we got another caller calling in.
Yeah, actually, somebody want to take that call?
Yeah, go ahead, Jim. You got it.
Okay, I got it. Not a problem. Okay. Hello, welcome to the war room.
What's your name? Yeah. Where you calling from? Hello?
Caller.
Yeah, 267-760. Okay, well, I guess not.
Big tongue, I guess.
Yeah, at any rate, back to what I was saying. You said that it has to be tweaked. There definitely has to be a system that's put in place that changes things. All of us agree that it's not working and it's not right. But like I said, every time I have this discussion or debate with someone, it's like, what is the answer? Because that's a complex situation right there. It's definitely a complex situation because, you know, these guys, for all intents and purposes, are getting the scholarships, like we said, and they're supposed to not take anything. And then you have situations, I believe it was Luke Walton. Do you remember when Luke Walton played for Arizona and he was, like, best friends with Richard Jefferson?
Yeah.
Well, Luke Walton's father had gave him tickets to a finals game. You know, that's his pop, and his pop got some. He got bread, so he gave him tickets to a finals game. He gave him two tickets, and he brought his best friend with him, which happened to be Richard Jefferson. And he got in trouble for accepting a gift. You know what I mean? That's a joke. Because he didn't do anything wrong, but, I mean, that's how the rules are. The rules are so crazy that he actually got in trouble for that. So the rules definitely have to be tweaked, but I don't know what the answer is. I mean, that's a very, like you said, it's a very complex situation.
It is. And it won't be answered today, but hopefully people can start changing their thinking and kind of demand things change on the NCAA front. Do we want to get into the Colts?
Yeah, let's talk about the Colts, because we can have this conversation all night. Let's talk about the other side. We talked about the NFC and the Saints and what we feel would happen with them, but, you know, let's talk about the Colts. Let's talk about whether they've gotten over the Super Bowl loss, whether they have any lingering effects from that game. You know, did this decision to rest the players at the end of last season, you know, have any bearing on how the season ended? Remember, at the end of the season, they had clinched so early, they started resting their players. I mean,
right.
I don't think so personally because they still went to the Super Bowl. But also, in terms of Peyton Manning's legacy, people forget that when Peyton Manning was in college in his first several years in the pros, that he was known as a guy that couldn't win the big game. But like every other quarterback, once you win that one championship, everything changes. So what about his legacy now that they have lost?
Let me weigh in on this. This is B. Austin. And I'm definitely biased because I'll lay it out there. He is my favorite quarterback in the NFL. I don't think that there's lingering effects with most of that roster. Obviously, it's pure conjecture and speculation. We don't know any of them other than Bethea. I actually do know him. We went to Howard together. But I don't think there's lingering effects. I definitely think resting the players was a mistake. I think you're paid to play. I think you get on the field and you give yourself the best chance to win every single game that you participate in. And I recall the starting 22, a lot of them having an issue with the decision to sit out those last games. And then, you know, going on to the Peyton Manning thing, let me also say this. When football is the consummate team sport. It's 53 players. I think sometimes when you have extreme talent on your team, you tend to lose focus of the fact that you need to be as talented as possible at all 53 spots, and undue and unnecessary pressures are placed on your number one or your featured player. I think that for a number of years, Peyton Manning and the offense had to carry the whole state of Indiana and the city of Indiana on their back. Because the defense was suspect, and you asked Peyton Manning to every single game and put up astronomical numbers for years. I'm talking like not just one season, not just a Drew Brees year. I'm talking about 3, 4, 5 seasons of this dude putting up 30, 35, 40 points because they know that they couldn't stop anybody. So when you have that type of pressure, it's hard to point and say, okay, this dude – it can't win in the big game. You know, what type of pressure is he facing versus other teams that were more balanced?
You know, he had that tag coming into the league. I remember when he played in college, they were saying the same thing. He couldn't win the bowl game. He can't win the big game. And I agree with you that football is the consummate team sport. It's, in my opinion, out of all the major sports, it's the biggest team sport there is. It's a team sport. So you think that
I agree. This is TJ. I agree with both of y'all said, because, I mean, when you think about it, like a lot of people look at the teams and we look at the top players, like the players like Peyton Manning, you know, Reggie Wayne. You may look at somebody like Bob Sanders, even though he's hurt all the time. We look at their top players, but we don't even think about a lot of times, we don't consider that football is really one on the line, like on your offensive and defensive lines. That's so important that a lot of people lose track and lose that consciousness of the fact that that's really where the game is won, is actually on the line. And, I mean, not that the Colts don't have a good line, because they do, but their D-line was kind of suspect for a while. Now, obviously, we got Freeney and guys like Mathis and stuff like that now, but for a while, their D-line was always so small that they really couldn't do too much. You know, they were a pass-rushing type of defense, but they couldn't really stop the run. That's how a lot of teams would attack them. But I agree with what you're saying. I mean, Peyton Manning is the man. I mean, dude does a lot. Like, he has lost in a big game, but I really feel like they will bounce back. I don't feel like they have – I don't think they're going to shake them up. I definitely think that they'll compete. Now, whether they'll go back to the Super Bowl, I don't know. But, you know,
because
the Super Bowl has a lot to do with injury, so – You know, depending on how healthy they are, I definitely think they have a chance.
Akil, you still there, Akil?
Yeah, yeah, I'm there. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think they might make it to the AFC Championship. That's about it.
That's your prediction. Okay. I mean, that right there is something to frown about after coming back from the Super Bowl, making it back to the AFC Championship. Although they may look at that as a disappointment because they were right there. But with that being said, if the Colts are not the team to come out of the AFC, who do you see as the team that can compete with them? And this is for you guys as well as the callers. Who's the team in the AFC that everybody thinks can actually make it out of the AFC if not the Colts?
Yeah, a lot of people talking about the Jets, man. And I don't think that – I think the Jets definitely have a good opportunity, but their defense is ridiculous, but – I just don't know if I got enough faith in Sanchez to get him all the way there, man. I mean, it's funny. I look at, Hard Knocks and just looking at him in the preseason, he's definitely a great quarterback. I mean, I'm sorry, not a great. He's definitely a good quarterback with a lot of potential, but I feel like it just seems like he loses focus a little bit. Like, he reverts back to, a kid or to, a childish state or something. I mean, he may. I don't want to say that he can't, but I think one only thing I see with the Jets, the reason that I'm not that sure about them is to me is Sanchez, because I like everything else about them.
You think that Mark Sanchez, a.k.a. Vinny Chase, he's the reason that they won't be able to make it. The boy remind me of Vinny Chase. But anyway, you think he's the weak link.
I'm going to go with I'm going to have to go with the Patriots, man. I'm going to go with them behind Indianapolis. So I see Indianapolis going back to the big dance.
Okay.
And then behind them, I see the Patriots behind them. I'm going to go out on a limb here. A lot of people aren't going to agree with this, but I like the Dolphins, man. I like the Dolphins. Let me also weigh in on the Jets. Sanchez, I'm not going to call him a bum, but he hasn't done anything yet really to show me that he is a real live NFL baller. And here's why I say that. Last year, they had Thomas Popeye Jones with the boy with the big-ass arms. Yo.
They had Popeye in the backfield.
He was 31 years old and still toted the rock for 1,300 yards. And whenever they got in trouble, they just handed the ball off. So the Jets whole thing is keep Sanchez out of situations where he has to win the game versus we can count on him to go and win the game for us. Now, he gets a lot of acclaim because he's, USC quarterback. He's in New York. Their coach is the son of Buddy Ryan and got a big mouth and says a whole bunch of whatever. Man, the defense and the running game makes that team. It has nothing to do with Sanchez.
So hold on real quick, Brad. Right. With that being said, you don't think the defense and running game is enough to possibly get them over the hump? I mean, they came within one game last year.
I you know what I see them as? And I actually I got to give a shout-out to my man Skip Bayless on, what is it, Cold Pizza? No, it ain't Cold Pizza.
Yeah.
I say,
well, whatever. Yeah, I know you're talking about
another network that we're going to take over. I really see them as a 10-6 team who – is good enough on any given Sunday, Monday, or Thursday to come up with a win. If I'm a good team, I don't want to play the Jets because they can get hot, but I don't think they're consistent enough. And if you get them down, if the defense manages to have an off game, the offense can't save their ass.
Hold on for one second, Brad. We got a call on the line that wants to say something to us. Hold on one second. Let me take this call.
No doubt.
All right, caller, you're on the line. You're in the war room. Where you from?
Yo, what's up, man?
What's your name? Where you from?
Yo, do you hear me?
Yeah, you hear me?
Oh, this is Nye from Philly.
Okay. What's going on, Nye? What's going on, Nye?
Yo, hey, Jim, I thought we was bashing MJ, man. You sent the email that we was bashing MJ. What happened?
We're going to have plenty of shows to bash MJ.
For
those out there,
let the season roll around.
Listen, when basketball gets upset, it's time to bash MJ. Because, a lot of people out there think that Michael Jordan, he just walks on air. And, I have a lot of people that I've talked to who disagree with that. But, what's going on? Let me ask you a question.
What's up?
We're gonna stay that conversation. Hey, Nah, let me ask you a question.
That was my point, though. I had a coach point.
Okay, great. What's your point on the coach?
Well, I really think the Tennessee Texans overtake them. The Houston Texans overtake them this year because they've been so close for years. Like the last 3 years, they blew double-digit leads to the Colts before. And I believe that this is the year that they actually make that step and knock the Colts down to tag in the division.
Now, before anybody says something, I want to tell you something. I actually looked at that, and I think that they're a team on the rise. Whether they're ready to make that leap yet, I don't know. But they're the next team up in that division.
9-7.
Yeah.
9-7.
So, better than 9-7. We better than 5. That schedule?
Mm-hmm.
With the offensive talent they got, now with Foster running the ball consistently, and the defense is beat, and everybody took the ball for taking Mario Williams over Reggie Bush. And that was the smartest one of the smartest draft they picked ever.
Well, yeah. the average fan is a little with their football knowledge, so I definitely agree with that pick. But now, let me ask you this, brother. With what running game do the Texans have?
Well, you figure they had, you think Steve Slate with over 1,000. Last year, he had the fumble-itis problems. The guy, Martin Mills came in the last two games, averaged about 120 a game. Like, the running game is there because the passing game is there. So they have running lanes. They just need a back to be consistent, hold on to the ball. And if Adrian Foster gives them that, I think they're right there. I mean, it's just my opinion. I'm not a football, guru.
they have running back by committee, though, like every other team does, and they do have some nice running backs. So I think they will have a running game. The question is, when the chips are on the line, can they win a big one? Because it's going to come down to them and the Colts. I don't think that the Jags are going to be there, or Tennessee for that matter. But I think it's going to be between those two teams, and they are on the way up.
Right.
I mean, they got a good coach.
I think tomorrow's game is so important for them because they get that first win over the Colts to start the season. That's like the monkey off their shoulders, off their back, and they can roll from there.
Even though it's week one. Even though it's a week one.
This game is the end season. That game for them, because that's their biggest hump. I mean, they can't just getting past the Colts, and that's their biggest their biggest hurdle.
Right.
And if they do that, like if they start the season off in
the early 2000s, when Eagles we finally beat the Giants in that Monday Night Football game to get past the Giants with a nasty thrash, and like that elevated us to the next level. I think that's what the Texans are going through now. They got to beat the Colts.
Well, let me ask you a question. Now we got you on the line. You gave us your prediction for the AFC. What do you think about the NFC?
NFC, you know what, man? It's so, everyone's going with Green Bay, but I got to see Green Bay hold up. Those corners with Al Harris is what, 33, 34? Wilson about 33, 34. I got to see these dudes hold up for 16 games. And I want to say the Cowboys, but the Cowboys look so inconsistent during the preseason. So I still think it's for the Saints. I still think the Saints are the favorite because the defending champs. Most of their pieces are back, and you have a great quarterback in Breeze.
You gotta beat the champs. You gotta come take it.
Atlanta though. I think Atlanta's a little sleeper team that they can stay healthy with Matt Ryan a year older. They added Dante Robinson to that defense to guard some of these better receivers that the Saints have. So, we'll see.
Listen, let me make a statement because y'all gonna think I'm crazy. Here's my sleeper team. I'm not saying they're gonna do anything, but I think they may make the playoffs and make a run. The San Francisco 49ers, as much as it pains me to say that, when I look at their defense and their running game in the division they play in,
And it all comes down to Alex Smith. Can Alex Smith make that? If Alex Smith can be consistent, you're right, because the running game is there. They got a star tight end across the middle now. They said Crabtree's a year older. So, the pieces are there. They got a great little linebacker in Willis. So, I can really see San Fran making the run.
Their division is weak, so I definitely can see why you were picking us. I got them winning. I actually got them beating. I got them beating the Cardinals in that division, and I can see them winning that division.
Of course, that's what they got. They have
Rams, coming out
the Rams, Cardinals,
the Cardinals. I don't got no faith in Derek Anderson like that. I think they're going to come out the West, at least. And it's just going to come down to what can they do in the playoffs and who do they face and will they be on the road, will they be home. So, I mean, that's December talk, but I definitely got
that. In my opinion, I'm looking at all the callers that we have listening to the show. I think we could pick a team from the people that are listening to the show and we can beat the Rams.
Impossible.
I heard that. Hey, Nah, thanks for your call. And by the way,
go ahead.
You can call back and we can, talk dirty about MJ, Paul.
All right, man. Take it easy, y'all.
All right, now. Take care.
Yo, Jim, I think we should do a media blast at least right now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we do a
call. We probably rotate this. Yeah.
All right,
well, Peter,
go ahead. You got that,
Peter.
It's about
almost
7:35. Go ahead,
Peter.
You got it.
Yeah, I know. Where did time go, man? You start talking about football,
it,
you know, time is getting warped.
I know, right?
But, yeah, God, to all the listeners out there, just want to let y'all know that y'all can definitely get in contact with us from our website. It's www.warroomsports.com. If you want to contact us, you can hit the contact tab on the website, and, you know, you can fill out a form or inquiry and submit it, and we'll all take a look and get back to you. Or you can contact us one by one as our names and email addresses are listed on that page. So if you want to contact us, you know, shoot us an email, we'll get back to you. You can also check us out on Facebook, www.facebook.com/warroomsports. On Twitter, www.twitter.com/warroomsports. For general email inquiries, it's info@warroomsports.com. And if you want to join our chat room, you can just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. And to get into the chat room, you're going to have to sign up and just sign up for a free profile. And then you can click and get into the chat room. You can add us as your favorites, add the War Room as one of your favorites on the Blog Talk Radio show, and you'll be able to get updates and information about the show. And if you want to send us any questions, you can also shoot them through Facebook or Twitter or the chat room. And one more time, the call-in number for anybody who wants to call in is area code 323-410-0012. So, no excuses on reaching out to us with all that I just gave y'all. So.
I got something else I want to talk about while we're, you know, because it's football. Like, football is getting ready to start within a half hour. And one
I'm
thing
excited,
I want to talk about.
Man.
There's a lot of players, right, who move teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, McNabb, you got
LT,
T.O., you got Jason Campbell. Well, you know.
That's an overrated alert.
We got Anquan Boldin. You got Hoosh Gonzalez left. Jason Taylor on the team. Julius Peppers, Matt Leinart. You got a lot of people who have switched teams, and these are not, you know, just the regular player. These are guys who have names and have built a legacy in the league. So I want to ask you guys, who's going to have the biggest impact and who's going to have the smallest impact out of all the players that switched teams this season?
That's a good question, Jim. I don't know. It's tough, man. I mean, like you said, it's funny. All the names that you mentioned and a lot of the names that moved around that are going to be significant are older players. I mean, not older, but players that are farther on in their career. So when you, like you said, you look at LT, you look at LJ, Larry Johnson, McNabb, TL, a lot of these guys are seasoned vets. Honestly, I don't know, that's a good question, man. I've ever since being a big Eagles fan, not to get too like diarrhea of the mouth again, being a huge Eagles fan, man, I always liked T.O. And when T.O. came here and the season that he gave us and what he did for the Eagles, I became a staunch T.O. supporter. So I don't know what's going to happen in Cincinnati, but I think when T.O. goes to a new team before he, like, infects it, he puts work in, for lack of a better word. So he'll go out and play his hardest. He probably did crazy workouts. He's probably getting it in. He's going to try to win that team in that city over. So I think T.O. is going to make a splash. I mean, I'm a T.O. fan, so that's somewhat biased, but I think T.O. is going to do. I mean, he didn't look that great in Buffalo, but, I mean, who looks good in Buffalo?
Buffalo's quarterback is one of our callers right now. But anyway, listen, my opinion is this. In my opinion, people are going to think I'm crazy when I say this. Before we get to be off, and I just want to tell you my opinion. My opinion is, as much as I hate to say it because I hate the Raiders, but I think Jason Campbell is going to have a significant impact on this team because I don't think he's as bad as people believe he is. I mean, he played for the Redskins, and I know there's a lot of people from the Maryland, D.C. area listening, but their offensive line was horrible. He had no time. Like, who were their receivers? Their best receiver was a tight end. Outside of Cooley, who's he throwing to? So I think
he's
talking
to the man, Santana.
You're right. Be Austin, who do you think is going to have an impact in terms of players that have switched teams?
Great question. I'm actually going to rank them. I'm going to leave some people off the list because I don't think that they have an impact in the game of football that's positive. but we're going to rank. I'm going to start off with Julius Peppers simply because, you know, with the what's the big white boy linebacker in Chicago?
Urlacher
and Briggs. Outside of those two, I think that Peppers is probably, you know, the only impact player on that defense, and he's automatically the best of that three, especially with Urlacher's skills declining. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna say number one on my list would be Julius Peppers. Number two on my list is gonna be Anquan Boldin, because you know, the Ravens receiving core is on life support at best, and that's no disrespect to my man Derek Mason, because he's put in work for many, many years, and even at the age of 45, he's still getting 1,000 yards a season. He's a baller. But Anquan Boldin gives them somebody that can not only stretch the field, but isn't afraid to go over that middle and present himself as a target. So I think that, you know, he's going to really be a friend to young Joe Flacco up there. So I got him. Maybe a surprise, maybe not, I don't know. I think the Great Dane, man. I think LaDainian Tomlinson is going to give us an encore performance that many people weren't really ready for, man. I think that he's going to ball out. I got him at 1,200 yards, maybe 1,300 for the season, man. If he stays healthy, I think that the number of carries he's going to get, and really it's a question of whether his body can hold up, because really if you look at who's behind him, it's predominantly rookies or younger players. So I think that he's going to get the workload that Thomas Jones had. So I think that he's going to ball out. Next on my list, I'll join you with Jason Campbell. Down here in Redskins land, Deadskins land, Foreskin land, whatever you want to call it, Pauls. You definitely hear the bias chitter chatter against him, but you know there's some statistical facts. Let's look at the fact that, you know, his completion percentage is the second highest in the NFC East, behind I think Romo. He's always thrown for over 3,500 yards. He's always thrown for over 20 touchdowns, and that's with the offense changing year to year. He's only been in the same offense. No, he's never been in the same offense. They changed coordinators every season that he's been here. So
even in college.
So I think that, you know, give him some stability, and he will be a good NFL quarterback. Not great. I don't see him as a perennial Pro Bowler. But he will be a good quarterback. He's certainly, you know, light years ahead of Jarubish Russell. I see him balling out.
You need a line out there.
Who else is? Yeah, you definitely need a line. He's not a statue. He can, you know, scramble a little bit, but he's by no means an athletic quarterback. So you definitely need to get him some protection. Robert Gallery is a bust, to those Raiders fans that are listening. Prove me wrong.
Real quick, but I had to cut you off because we went out of time. Let me hear, Akil, do you have an opinion on who you think will make the biggest splash in any team, Paul?
Yeah, actually, Jimmy, we agreed on who you think is going to have the biggest impact, and that's Jason Campbell, because we all saw what Jarubish / Marcus Russell did in Oakland, and they didn't go 0-16, okay? So
yeah.
I think Jason Campbell has that arm for that vertical passing game that Al Davis likes to use, and I see he's obviously more cerebral than Jamarcus Russell. And I think by default we can count Matt Leinart out since he's a backup in Houston. And I think McNabb is not going to have any type of impact on the Redskins. They won 4 games last year. I'll go out of limit, say they win – I don't know, maybe 6, but I think they're expecting him and Shanahan and the new GM to take them to the playoffs. So I really don't – I think McNabb is going to be a disappointment, which hinges on the reason why he probably said Albert Haynesworth, they need him to win because now McNabb has an excuse to use if they don't win and Albert Haynesworth is not on that team. We say, well, we didn't have Albert Haynesworth, so, you know, it's not my fault, you know.
Well, I agree with a little bit of what you're saying. You think that McNabb is very calculating, huh?
Exactly.
Well, McNabb is going to look for excuses. He's going to, like you said, Kill, as soon as they start doing that, he's going to say, well, you know, we had Albert Haynesworth, it'd be a different story. I wouldn't have thrown the ball into the ground as much. Albert Haynesworth was on coming in to defend. So, you know, McNabb, he's building up his excuse itinerary.
Speaking of the Raiders, I was watching TV and they showed Al Davis. Is it me or that Al Davis looked like he died about 6 years ago and it's like Weekend at Bernie's and they just rolled him out there?
Al Davis is a curtain. He's not even a person anymore. He's just a curtain that they put on top of that wheelchair with a wig, and they roll him out. Sometimes they'll get fancy and throw some shades on him, some stunner shades. But, yeah, Al Davis is like a curtain, man. He's another accordion.
He died in, like, 03. He died in 03. So, I mean, they just roll him out there like Weekend at Bernie's. And, you know, I do hate the Raiders, but at the same time, I think that's an upgrade. Real briefly, I'm going to get all you guys' opinion on McNabb, considering, you know, the Philadelphia connection and also some of you brothers are right now in the D.C., Maryland area, the DMV. What is your opinion of McNabb, just briefly? If I say McNabb, what's the one word that comes to your mind? PJ.
Now, you know I need more than one word.
One word.
Come on, man. I'm a scorned Philly fan, man. There's so many, guys.
One word I'll say is
one is like, I'm going to give you like a hyphenated joint. I want overrated and then hyphen, just can't finish. To me, he's not a finisher, dude. Like, he just can't finish. And, he just can't.
Be often, what's your one word when I hear the word McNabb?
Like PJ, I need a whole show. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for the callers. This is definitely rated R. So if your children are around, get them away. First, I'm going to start off with bitch ass knucker. And then I'm going to jump it over to a hero dies one death. A coward dies 1,000. McNabb will continue to die until we hit 10,000.
All right, I'm gonna stop right there.
Hey,
Akil,
man, why did you let that bro go in on McNabb, man? You know that's a whole nother show. That's when we do our Wee-Wee Split at the Dark show. That's the Rated R show.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop that right now. Akil, what's your opinion on when you hear the word Donovan McNabb, the name Donovan McNabb?
I'll invent a word. Unclutch.
Unclutch.
There you go. Excellent word.
I know we got the chat room going crazy. There was a lot of McNabb supporters. And,
oh, boy.
What is the chat room saying? What are people saying about McNabb? I know a lot of people love McNabb. And when I think of McNabb, I think McNabb is very calculating because he knows how to play the media and to get people on his side. Like, he's the good guy. And you know, what was McNabb's major in college? Someone told me that he had a major in, like, a – I forgot what it was.
He was a communications major at Syracuse. That's what his degree is. And you would think.
That's cool.
Huh?
Syracuse has one of the top communication schools. They're broadcasting.
Syracuse is one of the top communication programs in the country. And good old McNabb came out of that program.
So what I'm saying is he's very calculating.
My thing is, to me, to play in Philly, I just think he had the wrong mentality for Philadelphia. As a Philadelphia fan, again, this is PJ, he's not the type of athlete that is going to get the fan base behind him. He's not the Allen Iverson type of athlete. You know what I'm saying? He's not the type of athlete who is somebody who's going to try to win at all costs. McNabb doesn't like to lose, but he doesn't hate to lose. Athletes like Iverson hated to lose. Like, it bothered him to lose. McNabb, in the last season, would say, I mean, you know, we're at – when he was asked by me, was he upset that we lost to the Cowboys twice and got spanked twice? He said, nah, you know, it was a good season. We won 11 games. Like, that's the wrong attitude, man. Like, seriously. Like, I understand you're right. You won 11 games. But come on, man. You just got beat twice by the same team.
I'm going to stop this now because I know for a fact that
people are about Big Nat, and you know we're after days and days about Big Nat. You know, but to his defense, and I hate saying anything. Well, it's not even he was in the wrong system from day one. You know, he's not a West Coast quarterback. So I mean, he started off. But with that being said, though, in terms of mental toughness, he doesn't have any. But I'm just going to leave the whole McNabb talk alone because we can go all show about that because we're all very passionate about the whole Donovan McNabb debate, whether he was a great quarterback or people call him a Hall of Fame quarterback. And he probably will get into the Hall of Fame, but, again, that's part of him being calculating, in my opinion.
In the chat room, shout out to John Bat. Too bad he can't communicate with his receivers.
That's a good one. But real quick, we got
that was a good one, dog. That's right on the money.
Real fast, we have a game tonight, the Saints Vikings. I want everybody's prediction for the game tonight. And also, how do you feel about Brett Favre in what may be his final season? We never know, but just talk about the game tonight and how you feel about Brett Favre coming back. And what do you think about tonight's game? Everybody, start with you, PJ.
I think Brett Favre, he showed me something last year. I mean, if he can come back and do what he did last year, which I'm not sure, I think he can take them far. One thing I think that's going to hurt the Vikings is, one, Sidney Rice, who was his main receiver last year, is hurt. Also, with the absence of Chester Taylor, I think a lot of people lose focus of that because Adrian Peterson is the running back. But Chester Taylor was a big, very important on third down. And he was very important on blitz pickups as well, which is way better than Adrian Peterson is. And I think a lot of people lose sight of that because he's not talked about as one of their top players. So I think, obviously their defense is solid, and their defense, is going to be competitive. I think a lot is going to rest on Adrian Peterson and his ability to hold on to the rock and Brett Favre, what he can do, how he can manage his offense again. But I think those two things I mentioned may be more of a challenge.
Give me a pick for the night. Who
do
you think is
going to
win tonight's game?
Just because New Orleans had a parade today again, I'm going with the Saints, man. I'm going with the Saints and under the table Bush. Pause. Under the table meaning money he got at USC.
Be Austin, what's your thoughts on the game tonight and also Brett Favre?
Family, I'm going with Kim Kardashian. I mean, I get excited about Kim. I'm going to go with the Vikings tonight. But PJ made some great points, some things that I didn't even think of. And I like to think of myself as a thinking man's thinker. man, Chester Taylor not being there is huge because, Pauls, he is definitely a starter caliber tailback, and you don't lose a lot when you insert him. Obviously, Adrian Peterson is an elite level athlete, an elite level star. He'll one day enter the Hall of Fame if he can get rid of his dribbling problem and hold on to the rock. But Chester Taylor is great out of the backfield catching the ball, great picking up blitzes, yeah. Great protecting Favre on the blind side. So those are important things that will weigh into the season, and I'm really interested in seeing how that develops. As far as Sidney Rice is concerned, Brett Favre made Donald Driver a Pro Bowl. So I don't think that he's going to have problems finding targets.
Yeah.
I think when Sidney comes back, he's going to ball, hopefully. But I don't think his loss is as big a deal as people are making.
All right, real quick, because we're running out of time, give me your pick for tonight. Who do you think? So you said the Vikings, right?
Yeah, I said the Vikings.
Okay, so we got one Saints, one Vikings. Mr. Bayon.
Thanks.
What's your pick for tonight's game? Briefly tell me, your pick for tonight's game and how do you think about Brett Favre? How do you think Brett Favre's going to do this season?
Well, first I'll say I think the Saints are going to win. Now, with Brett Favre, I think they'll win 10, maybe 11 games, but I don't think they win a Super Bowl. I don't know if he has the same type of season, magical season that he had last year in terms of yards and touchdowns and interceptions. Missing Chester Taylor is huge because that's going to put a
lot more work on Adrian Peterson, and maybe he fumbles more. But Brett Favre missing training camp, I think that's a big problem. You know, when I look at that fumble, that one fumble where they fumbled on it, they messed up on the exchange, first thing that came to my mind, man, maybe if they had more reps, maybe that wouldn't have happened. So, yep. You know, that's...
Well, we're running out of time, so you like the Saints as well. Real quick, do you guys think that Adrian Peterson can make the Timberwolves with the kind of handle he has? Could he play point guard?
Yeah.
He's in Tim Hardaway, boy.
I'm joking. So we got the Saints. You said the Saints as well. I also think the Saints. I think Bradley is Mr. B. Austin. He's in the minority. He's thinking that the Vikings will win this evening. I think the Saints, I think, you know, just because of the emotional high they'll be on starting the season out as the champs, I think they may route the Vikings tonight, personally. You know, the Vikings got a lot going on. But then again, so do the Saints and everything going on with the tailback and what have you. But I think it's going to be a good game. I'm just so excited that football starts in, you know, in a couple minutes. I don't know what else to say in terms of just the impact that football has had on everyone on this call, all of us, all of the hosts. We love football, and, you know, it's finally here. You know, it's finally here. As a matter of fact, I got to make sure in the next couple minutes I set my fantasy lineup. But with that being said, anybody want to get anything off their chest? We got, you know, like 2 minutes left. Anybody want to say anything?
Nah, I mean, I think you pretty much summed it up, man. I think I enjoyed this first show. I think things went pretty well. Thanks, everybody, for calling in and everybody that's listening. Look forward to this going forward, and, and just enjoy it, man.
How about you, Mr. Austin?
I can't say enough, you know, how much it's been a joy. We get together, callers and listeners, we get together on a regular basis and talk sports. So the idea for this show really is imagine yourselves in the barbershop, imagine yourselves in the basement around the 62-inch flat screen, and that's where you are when you tune in to us. You know, we're going to argue. We're going to yell at you. It's all in fun. It's all in love. Definitely make sure that you tune into the War Room every Thursday. Make sure that you hit us up on the website, www.warroomsports.com. You hit us on Twitter, twitter.com/warroomsports. Hit us on Facebook, facebook.com/warroomsports. Drop your opinion. Give us your thoughts. It's an opportunity for us to learn from you and for you to learn from us, and have a good time doing so.
Absolutely. Mr. Bayon, in 30 seconds, because we got time on that. Mr. Bayon, give me 30 seconds. Tell us anything you want to say while we close out.
All I want to say is I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank each of you brothers and Dev for each person doing their part to help getting this thing started, and I look forward to us doing big things with the warroomsports.com.
Okay, cool. Well, first off, I want to say, like, you know, I'm shocked. We have a lot of people out there that are listening. I'm looking in the back, you know, the back end, and we have a lot of people listening, and this is our first show, and I want to thank everybody. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We enjoyed having you in the War Room for the first time. So please tune in next week at the same time, same place. You know, it's next Thursday, 6 to 8. We'll discuss the results from the drama of the Week 1 NFL season, because at that point, Week 1 is already down, so we can have more football talk. We'll talk about the Team USA, you know, and the FIBA World Championships. And also, next week, we have a special guest. We have a college football sports contributor. Mr. Victor Montgomery will be in, and he'll, you know, talk a little bit about college football, if any of you guys love college football. And, of course, we're always going to pass the rock and talk about the biggest sports story of the week. So, basically, I just want to thank everybody, because this is our first show. We're going to, you know, become a lot better at doing this. You know, this is new for us as well. But we had a lot of people listening and a lot of people, you know, hitting us up in the chat room and Twitter, what have you. And I just want to say thanks to everybody. And with that being said, I want everybody, you know, to go enjoy football. So thanks for tuning in. This is our first show. Also, shout out to Brandy and Dev. I know you're probably still listening. Happy birthday, Brandy, and Dev, I'll holler at you in a minute. So, you know,
out there,
thank you. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care, everybody.